I'm Farai Chidea in for Adora, and of course, this is The Takeaway.
Indeed. I'm John Hockenberry, and you know, you'd have to go back to the Nixon administration to see numbers this bad in terms of joblessness and a broad sense of economic downturn that appears to be very, very persistent. There was a sharp sell-off on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow is poised for a lower opening this morning. We're awaiting numbers on unemployment, which are expected to possibly push us to 7.9%, but the real unemployment rate, if you count part-timers and people who are discouraged or so-called out of the workforce completely, is well above 12%. Joining us to anticipate what these numbers are, to speculate, because that's really all you can do now, on whether the markets have priced this negativity into trading today and going forward, Asian markets, we should note, are down, is Kelly Evans, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, here in the studio with us. I mean, let's forget the numbers for a moment, because we'll find out about them at 8:30, about 90 minutes from now. It seems to me, in looking at the last couple of iterations of unemployment, that we've seen a very rapid drop-off, huge numbers, month to month. Things are spiking very, very quickly. And I'm wondering if the ripple effect means that this is going to continue on an upward trend for a while. What do you see in the trends looking back in the last couple of months?
Yeah, well, if you look at what's happened with unemployment during this downturn compared to some of the past ones, there are a couple interesting things. The first is sort of the pace at which the jobs are being lost and how quickly the unemployment rate is rising. I mean, it's been common over the last year to see it rise, you know, 0.4 or half a percentage point in a month, and that's a really big jump. But we could see something like that again this morning to near 8%. There are also, despite sort of the long-winded decline of manufacturing in this country, we've lost manufacturing and construction jobs at also a sort of a breathtaking rate. And that's not the only sector. I mean, if you look at the declines in service sector jobs, in the retail jobs, in restaurant jobs, the types of things that people maybe who were unemployed from manufacturing would often fall into, those jobs aren't there like they used to be. They're going away quite quickly. And so it means, and I've talked to people all over the country who are feeling this and say the problem is it's not a matter of retraining or repositioning yourself to get that lower skill, lower wage job. The problem is even that job isn't there.
Even that job, right. And figuring out what's going to disappear and what sectors are even going to be there to go back to, that's the question. I mean, that's certainly the case in retail. You see unemployment numbers like this. You know, it used to be unemployment was an indication that businesses were increasing their productivity by cutting costs, and the stock market would jump on a slightly higher unemployment figure. That's no longer the case anymore. It barely bears directly on economic activity, and we could see retailers going away.
Absolutely. And if you look at when the biggest declines so far have hit, it was during the holiday season. It was during that period when you typically expect those retailers, the Walmarts of the world, to absorb some of the workforce and sometimes keep them on after the holiday season. And in this case, they didn't do that at all. And speaking to the sectors that people perceive as safe, so far it's been education, it's been healthcare, particularly even government jobs. So one of the key questions going forward in today's report and in the months to come is how much longer can those sectors sort of weather the storm? I mean, hospitals have been faced with rising non-payments. They've lost money in their endowments. And sort of if you look at education, both public and private have their own struggles. Government jobs hopefully will become a reliable employer in terms of the federal government later this year with the stimulus package, but there's still it's sort of like we're in a vacuum right now. And this report, the reason why it's being so highly watched, it could easily be the worst of the downturn. I will say, if that doesn't happen, if it comes in above these horrible expectations, that could give more of a boost to the market, more of a boost to confidence than if it were to come in worse than expected.
Kelly, you mentioned education jobs, but what about education as something that protects you? One of the things that's really happened that we've seen is that you've got middle class, even upper middle class and wealthy people pressed to the wall. What about educated people? Are educated people losing jobs? I mean, people with college and even postgraduate degrees?
Yes. If you look at the data, what happens is as the unemployment rate rises, it rises more quickly for the less educated workers. So the first sort of to feel the hit are those without a high school diploma or without a college degree. But as we are getting into the teeth of the storm, it really is sort of affecting everybody. And you'll see what is typically a very low unemployment rate among college and higher educated people start to rise. And I was speaking with a fellow yesterday in Massachusetts who has a PhD in anthropology, and he's been out of work, can't find anything up there. And he's just saying none of the museums are hiring. His wife ran an anthropology program in a university that was just cut. So it's really tough. These are places that don't usually feel it, the pain.
And the conceptual shift has been so quick. I mean, it used to be that having an MBA was almost a guarantee of a job. Now it looks a little more like...
Now it's a red flag.
No, now it's an English major. You're
right.
An English major.
Right.
MBA? Oh, that's nice. What are you going to do with that? You
know, exactly.
It's bizarre. Let's talk a little bit about the editorial meetings at the Wall Street Journal, if I could. Take me behind the scenes. How are you covering this? It's not a numbers story. It's a broad sociological story. And I'm wondering what discussions you have.
Absolutely. What we are just trying to do is illustrate the different faces of this. You know, if you look at the unemployment rate among youths, for example, it's, you know, above 20%. If you look at unemployment rate among Hispanics or African Americans, the different population groups, different demographics, there are so many interesting things happening that, you know, even as we talk about what's going on broadly, I think what one of the most telling numbers is the 13.9, about 14% of people who are unemployed. If you look at that number you were mentioning earlier, part-time or people who are accepting, you know, jobs are discouraged or that kind of thing, and that's likely to rise again. So when we talk about double-digit unemployment, in some ways we're already there.
All right, let's just be really specific about that. It's the so-called underemployed number. It includes unemployed, roughly 7.9%. The discouraged workers, the people who've fallen off, who don't even get measured in the stats, and that's an estimate. And then there's the part-timers, and you add that up, it's well into 12 or 13%.
Right. One word I do want to mention as we talk about this, like I said, this is sort of the middle of the storm right now. Unemployment is a lagging indicator. It typically rises and gets worse towards the middle and end, and in the last couple cases, after the recession is over. So the problem is this is when families, when Americans feel the most pain. But I think what's important to remember is to keep your eye on sort of the leading signs that are getting us out of this. And that's, you know, the low stock market, the declines there, and some of the ongoing declines in housing. Once we start to see those ease up, even though unemployment could keep getting worse for a little while, I think you'll quickly see a turnaround in sort of expectations.
And what about the issue of entrepreneurship? I'm very curious. You know, some of the most interesting and most powerful businesses start in a downturn because there's all this talent flooding the market and people can form these core groups that then go on to success. You know, this might be more of a touch and feel thing, but do you get the sense that people are rallying to try to start something, to be employed?
Absolutely. I hear this all the time. There are people getting together who are unemployed and saying, you know, what can we do? What's the next big, the big thing? Is it internet? Should we start something related to healthcare? I mean, so we want to encourage that. Again, most companies start with an entrepreneur, with a couple of people, and they keep hiring, and that's a lot of job creation in this country. One cautionary point, a lot of the, you know, who want to be entrepreneur people that I talk to are a little bit worried about what happens next year if some of the tax breaks that the Bush administration began sunset and things like that. So there are still some details and some signals that need to be worked out to sort of
and
keep
the credit
encouraging
markets,
that.
You need to get financed to be a new business. I figure in this period, you know, Craigslist meets Goodwill. It might be a good concept for a business, but that's just me off the top of top of my head. Let's talk a little bit about what I've been hearing on a lot of the business channels. There's sort of this screaming and yelling that the Obama administration is giving too much money to the public sector, that it's the private sector that creates jobs, and that if the money was like taken off the table by the feds and actually distributed in the private sector economy, the old trickle-down theory, that the employment would come back naturally. Do you see any evidence in these data that there's any likelihood that the private sector has an interest in increasing employment under any sort of financial scenario?
Well, one key gauge of their interest in hiring and in keeping workers is productivity. And we had data out on that yesterday that showed, you know, if you have productivity chugging along, the economy can keep growing with the same number of workers. So that we're kind of seeing that right now. We're seeing output still, you know, at a pretty good clip, which to companies means, okay, if I can continue this output, then I can either get rid of workers or I can hang on to the ones I have. So once either those declines or once productivity begins to decline, they might need to add some people back. Mm-hmm. In terms of the public versus private, the government in some ways is trying both. I mean, the Federal Reserve in going to almost a zero interest rate policy and trying what's so-called quantitative easing means increasing the quantity of money in the system and trying to get that private money flowing.
That's a private sector booster, right.
Right, to go along with the public sector job creation.
Last thing, we call you the wizard of inventories around here because you can extrapolate more sort of leading indicator data off of inventories. How are inventories doing, and are they an indicator that we're near the beginning or the end of this?
Well, they're actually a key part of data right now. What happened in the fourth quarter is the inventories declined. We're looking to see what happens in the first, but they're a big question mark, and that's why they're a little tricky to forecast.
And they're really an indicator of when companies will be able to hire if those inventories start to go down. Kelly Evans, reporter for the Wall Street Journal, looking forward, sort of, to the unemployment numbers out later this morning.